Amen. Amen, amen, amen. How excellent. Yes, sir, is thy name. You recall a few weeks ago, I laid some groundwork for this year preaching, and we talked about the four legs upon which the Christian life is built. You do remember that, don't you? Somebody at least encouraged the pastor. Yes, yes, I remember that, yes. Prayer. What's the first one? Prayer. What's the first one? Let's try it again. What's the first one?
Prayer.
Second one is Bible study. What is it? Third is worship. And the fourth is Christian service. Hence our theme. This year, I serve. And the theme for the first quarter this year, shaped to serve. Let's say those four legs again. What are they? Prayer, Bible study, worship, Christian service. You can sing. I didn't know you could sing. You really can sing. Yeah. Strong voice, beautiful voice. Prayer. Bible study, worship, Christian service. It sounds, when you say it like that, just four things. Sounds fairly simple, doesn't it? You're afraid to say amen because you know it's not. But it sounds simple. Doesn't it sound simple? Sounds simple. Just pray, study the Bible, worship. Do good stuff. Christian works. Going into the kingdom. Come on, somebody. You act like you don't believe it. Because it takes a lot out of you, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Sometimes just 1 week of doing right can wear you out. Don't sit there pious. Say amen. Just trying to do right. It seems like sis, trying to do right ought to be a simple, easy thing, don't you think? But sometimes doing right wears you out. Why don't somebody say amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Come in church on Sabbath, they're worn out. What have you been doing? Just doing right all week, yeah. Worn out. Yeah. Because doing right goes against the grain. We want to do right, choir, but we're not right. So sometimes doing right can just leave you exhausted, glad to go to bed. What'd you do today? Just doing right all day long. Worn out. Isn't that something? And so the Bible is full of stories to let us understand the understanding of God. He's patient. He knows what we're going through. He understands. He inspired Paul to write Romans 7, the things I say I'm going to do, I don't do. And the things I say I'm not going to do, what happens? Doing it all the time. Frustrating. Frustrating. We're dealing with four stories in Luke 15. And we're trying to understand this idea of service, of doing right, of being what God would have us to be. We're trying to get it from Luke 15. We've talked about the sheep. We've talked about the coin. And in each case, we're seeing Christ exemplify this issue of service. See, the point I'm leading you to is that trying to do right without being fully submissive to Christ will wear you out. Because it's not natural for us. But when we give that, the more we learn to give that thing over to Jesus, then the more doing right becomes more natural. Huh? Yeah, that's true. That's true. And so on the sheep, we saw the example of Christ, just humbling himself. He's the shepherd going after. And then in the coin, we saw the church as the woman holding up the light. Remember holding up the light? That was the word of God. And we saw the woman sweeping the grace of God. We saw how the church makes its goal others and going after others, looking for others. And we found, of course, in that passage about the woman and the broom and so forth, we have folk lost in the church, in the house. And the first work of the church is to get a hold of those in the church who are lost. And we found out that we can, right now, you can be sitting in the church next to somebody, a wife, a husband, a child, who is in the house but lost. They've never allowed the light to bring the best out of them. We've seen that as we have studied this Luke 15 passage. The story of the prodigal son brings some other issues. Issues that are serious, and we need to talk about them. Let's pray. Guide us today, Lord, as we look at this good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, most people sitting here know the story of the prodigal son. Perhaps only the parable of the Good Samaritan is better known, the story of the prodigal son. Phase one of the parable, go to Luke 15. Phase one of the parable just simply gives us the setting. The parable has several sections. A father has two sons. And it appears from the story, it's implied fairly clearly, that the family has some kind of a farming business. They are agrarians of some kind. And the implication of the story is that the father's done well and has wealth to pass on. According to Jewish custom, we know this, the wealth, though, will not be passed on until the father has died. The elder will receive the larger portion, the younger man will receive what's left. And so until the father's death, it would be highly disrespectful, even an insult for the son to ask for the inheritance before the father died, because to ask for it is to say, I wish you were dead. So the son's request is a deeply painful thing to the father. Stay with me. You see, the story of the prodigal son is about ownership and control. The worst things you have done in your life were done when you were trying to be in charge. Well, I have to help you out. Amen. I mean, it's the truth anyhow, whether you said amen or not. Think about it now. Don't just sit there. Think about it. You have always gotten in trouble the minute you tried to take full charge of your life. Is that not true? This son, this younger son, represents us. His request says much about him. He's aggressive and impudent and restless and immature and self-centered and greedy and unaware of the facts of life. He's unaware of the facts of life because the main fact in life, if you've not found it out, is that you really haven't earned anything. Anything you have, you got from the Father. See, the dumbest statement in the world is to say, I'm going to do my own thing. Number one, you ain't no own. You don't own anything. So the very fact that he says, give to me the portion that falleth to me, you would think he would pause and realize that what's being given him, he hasn't earned. His father earned it. So your life, your eyes, your mouth, your talents, your gifts all come from God. Is that not true? Amen. Seeking to use them at your own behest when you feel like it is a serious mistake. And I would say that most scars you have on your soul happen when you tried to take your stuff, you thought it was your stuff, God's stuff, and use it your way. There he is. Here he is. See, we are receivers. Anything we have received. We really haven't earned anything. The Bible even says in Deuteronomy that even the strength you have to get up in the morning and go to work, that comes from God. So you haven't really earned anything. You really don't have anything. Nothing. So when we talk about, you know, serving the Lord, we and I've said it before, I'll say it again, we have to get away from this idea that we are doing something that merits some adulation, because the fact is, service is the natural thing for the human family, because really anything we have has come from God. So to serve him is merits no adulation, no praise. To do right is just making sense. No pat on the back for doing right. That just makes sense. Just doing wrong has messed us up. Let the church say amen. So here he is. And the thing that gets me, I mean, look at the text. Look at the text. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me. There's no please in the text. Did you notice that? Colin, did you see please? No, it wasn't there. Please was not in the... Give me. Now this is you. This is me. I'm grown. I'm going to do so and so and so. Little secret for you. About being grown. Being grown is a myth. It's a myth. It's the biggest lie in the world. I'm grown. See, the word for grown in the Bible is the word teleos. It means to be perfect. Have you met any perfect people lately? Then nobody's grown. Turn to somebody and say it. Come on, tell somebody right now. Nobody's grown. Tell somebody right now. Tell somebody the truth. Nobody's grown. So I'm grown, Bullard, I'm grown is a lie. It's a lie. So he says, give me. There's no please, there's no attitude of request. Next sentence, it's in my notes. He does not have a servant's view. And the pig pen is going to bring him to that. In phase two of the parable, the son leaves, goes to the far country, that's Stupidville, which represents a life of self-serving. He wastes everything. Now, the waste is inevitable because the son is a spender and not a producer. Did you follow that? See, him spending all deserves no great, you know, there's no shock here. We are spenders. We don't become producers until Christ takes over. So his running out of everything is the expected. The son without the father to guide him in the use of his personal assets can do nothing else but waste. Your life without Christ will be a waste. So there's no shock here, Pastor Fabian, about him wasting. If you're living without Jesus, you're wasting. See, a life without Christ has only one destination, the pig pen.
That's the word.
The pig pen. See, there's nothing in this story that's a surprise except what comes at the end. We'll talk about that in a minute. But his going to the far country, trying to get away from God, his father, his spending all, this is what's expected. The Bible says, then a famine came into the land. Now, just as you and I'm rushing because I'm trying to get to the pig pen. Just as you and I, spending the inheritance that God purchased us at the cross, will only self-destruct unless we stay with the Father. We never reach our full potential until the Father's at our side. See, as soon as he left home with his stuff, as soon as you leave Jesus with what you think is your stuff, which is his stuff, you're going to mess up because now you don't have the Father to show you how to spend it. Are you with me so far? In phase three of the story, the famine comes. Now, the famine reveals two things. First, you cannot count on the people who help you waste yourself. See, where is he after you get pregnant out of wedlock? Where is he? In most cases, he can't be found. Sometimes he can. But in most cases, he can't be found. Where is he when you wind up in jail because you use that drug and the guy who sold it to you? Where is he? See, where are the people that help you waste yourself? Where are they? If you will notice, he wound up in the pig pen by himself. Huh? Second, notice that the arrival of the famine parallels the son's wastefulness. In other words, when you're out there living by yourself, the famine is inevitable. You're going to wind up in a condition where there's nothing left. Without friends and money, God is leading us to the pig pen. Now, here's a key point in the sermon. Every life has a pig pen. Every life. Some of you have already been to it. Some of you are in the pig pen now. And you smell like pig. Sometimes it's tobacco on your breath. Liquor still on your breath. The dentine wasn't strong enough. We smell it. You drank beer Friday night. We smell it. Came to church. We smell it. Yeah. Somebody sitting here right now having been with somebody that should have been last night, but you came to church anyhow, and you smell like pig. Why y'all getting all quiet? Listen to me. So in phase four, he finally gets to the pig pen. Now, we're now ready for the center part of the sermon. It's called the smell of pig. Here we are. I grew up next door to a man named Mr. Ah, it's That's right. People are watching online. Mr. Blank. Mr. Blank. You remember Mr. Blank? Joey lived right next to our house. And Mr. Blank had pigs. Had pigs. Now, let me tell you something. There is nothing more head-clearing. Twice a day, see, the pig takes in so much poison. And the Lord has built the pig so he's got these holes in the bottom of his feet to let the poisons out, but those holes get stopped up. So twice a day, the Lord has designed the pig to excrete through the anus the poison gases bottled up in his body. Happens twice a day. And you don't have to ask what time of day it is. No. Oh, no. The pig will let you know. There's no escape from the odor. Anybody ever smelled pigs? Come on, just if you're rich, yeah. You know I'm telling the truth. I'm not exaggerating. You can't run in the house. You can't put your head in water. You can't put a mat. You cannot escape the smell of a pig. It's a permeating, all-consuming, ooze into your pores kind of smell. It makes you want to just run because you don't want that in you, on you. It's horrible. And the function of that pig smell, for those of us who've lived around pigs, is to let you know what time it is. Time to get the poison out. Is everybody following me so far? I'm setting you up. The pig pen is a place of teaching and learning. It is God's anvil. But most of all in this parable, the pig pen is where the head gets clear. The pig pen is a place of reflection and tragic self-awareness. And you see, it's hard to find a more pungent smell than the smell of pig because, look at Luke 15, 17. And when he came to himself, because the smell of the pig in the parable is the smell of yourself. Everybody's got to come to a point in their life where God lets you see you as you are. And the gradual coming to smell yourself is a step-by-step exercise. You see, we have this way we live so that at first we're very conscious of the terrible sins. You know, you don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery. You know, that's the smell of, but the smell of pig is deeper than that. Once God gets you to recognize how bad that is, then he's got to get you down to jealousy, envy, backbiting. Come on, somebody. See, that the smell of pig is way down inside of you, and God's got to bring you to a point where you recognize that this whole thing, every sin is awful. Every sin stinks. Can't be a servant until you smell yourself. See, I can preach. You can sing hymns, you can go to prayer meeting. But then there's that incident in your life. Listen to me! There's that incident in your life where God exposes you to you. And you realize just how messed up you are. Now you do not care what people think. You're not concerned what people say. You just want to get rid of that smell. You'll do anything to get cleaned up. You'll give this person up. You'll give this dress up. You'll give this drug up. You'll give this song up. You don't care. You can't stand yourself. That's a great place to be in. The first step to salvation is when you cannot stand yourself. I want to preach about the pig pen. God's anvil, God's awakening place, the place where self-awareness comes, the place where you no longer care what people think, you no longer try to pretend. You know when the pastor's preaching, he's talking about you. You're not concerned about who else is affected by the sermon. You know you need help because you've smelled yourself and you can't take it. The smell of yourself is noxious. You no longer care, Anastasia, about being called elder. You don't care about being on the praise team. You don't care about being an awesome in the church. You don't care about none of that stuff. What you know is I stink. Hypocrisy now is distasteful to me. I don't want to just be treated. I don't want to just be treated like I'm okay. I want to be okay. It happens in the pig pen. So there's no apology from God to drive you there. There's no apology from God for creating the famine. There's no apology from God for allowing you to spend all. There's no apology for God for allowing you to be a fool. He sits back and says, let them spend all. Let them waste themselves. I got plans for them. What's your plan? Got a pig pen waiting. Got a pig pen waiting. Because that's where I'm going to save them. See, I find it, maybe you all are calmer than I am. I find it exciting that a person comes to themselves in a pig pen. Not in the church service, hey! Not in the revival, but in the pig pen they come. Sitting in jail, they come. Lying up in bed with the wrong person, they come. The marijuana, smell of it just drifting from you, it hits you. I'm in a mess. If something does not happen today, I'm going to be lost. What a wonderful spot to be in. Let me say it, in case you're missing it. Pig pens are beautiful. Because they're lined with the drapes of self-reality. They got the plush pal carpet of good common sense. Hey! The pig pen is just the place where God makes sinners into saints. I didn't read it. When he came to himself, he took a whiff of himself and he said, I'm out of here. Come on, folk. I need somebody to say amen. Because I'm talking to you today. Yes, pastor's talking right to you. That worst day of your life was the best day of your life. That day they said you got cancer was the best day of your life. That day they told you that you were broke was the best day of your life. That day you lost your job was the best day of your life. That day that stupid relationship broke up was the best day of your life. Now you're in the pig pen. There's no way out but Jesus. It's all in his hair now. It's all in his clothes. He's acting like a pig. And notice, he starts thinking like a pig. Let me show it to you. Verse 16. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine did eat. Lord, have mercy. He was in the pig pen so long. Now, swine's food looked good. Huh? See, that's the point just before God moves in. See, God knows you're not a pig. I wish somebody would say, wait till I get done. God knows you're not a pig. So he pushes you into a situation where now you say, what? What? Pig's food looks good to me. What? What's wrong with me? Now you're 2 seconds from being saved. Hallelujah. So now he starts thinking like a pig. He wants to fight the pig for the husks. See, look at verse 16 and watch verse 17. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. Verse 17, the very first phrase, he's standing there. He's standing there wanting to eat what the pigs are eating. And the Bible, the next verse says, he came to himself. Just before he grabbed the food from the pig, hey, he came to himself. God said, that's enough. You've gone far enough. You're not a pig. You're a son of God. I will not let you eat like a pig. You've been acting like one, but you ain't going to eat like one. I'm going to grab you and save you and draw you back to me with everlasting love. See, the Bible describes our pigness. Don't look for that word. It's not in the dictionary. Bible describes our pigness. Genesis 6:5, thoughts evil continually. 1 Kings 8:46, no, everybody sins. Psalms 53:3, we've gone back. We're all filthy. Isaiah 1:4-6, laden with iniquity, seated evildoers. Isaiah 53:6, all have us gone astray. Isaiah 64:6, our righteousness is filthy rags. Romans 3:23, all have come short. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we lie. We're all pigs. The last phase of the story is coming home. Now, notice, when he left home, Mr. Proud, cocky, arrogant, gonna do my own thing, brother. When he comes home, Luke 15:19, make me as one of your hired servants. Come on, y'all. I want to preach to the choir for a few minutes. Do y'all see it? Do you see what happened here? The pig pen, Colin, got him from Mr. Arrogant to being willing to be a servant. See, the function of the pig pen, Darnell, is to remove from you any false pictures of yourself. You see, I serve. We act like it's a big deal, but God's got to work on you and press you to get you to the point where you're willing to be a servant. He said, hey, Dad, I don't need no position. I don't need to be elder or deacon or just let me serve. That's all I want. I'm happy to serve. Somebody praise God. Hey, somebody praise God. He has totally renovated my mind, my attitude about myself. I'm not worried about being praised. I'm not worried about position. Just let me serve. Lord, have mercy. Now he comes home covered with the smell of pig. I want you all to stay with me now. I'm going to wrap this thing up. Lord, have mercy. Lord, help me. Sometimes with old trees, pigs would cut loose. I'd go run in the house. But I told you, you can't escape that stuff. I'd run the house, and Mom would say, you've been around them pigs? See, I was outside when they cut loose. And that smell, come on, y'all. It just covers you all up. And Mom would say, boy, you been playing with them pigs? No, Mom, I was just outside when the pigs cut loose. I want y'all to hear me. I want you to know that when the boy left the pig pen, he brought the smell of the pig with him. You got to enjoy this thing. I want you to understand that though he left the pig pen, the smell was still there. Uh-huh. But my Bible tells me that his father is watching a great way off. And the thing that thrills the pastor's heart is the spirit of the father. Now, you know, when somebody smells like pig in his hair, pig in his clothes, come on, y'all, pig in his breath, and his daddy's been waiting on him, and his daddy runs toward him, and the closer he gets, the more pig daddy can smell. But my Bible tells me, the boy started making excuses, saying, I'm sorry, I messed up. I want to be a servant. The father does not respond. Even though the smell of pig is there, the father acts like it's not. Hey, bring a robe. Put it on this boy. Put a ring on his finger. Hey, but daddy, he smells. I can't smell it because I've loved you with an everlasting love. Jesus, holy Jesus, Jesus does not smell the pig. And if he does, he does not mention it. Let me say that again. If he does, he does not mention it. Let me say that one more time. If he does, he does not mention it. They come back in. They've been in jail. Don't mention it. She comes back, had a child out of wedlock. Don't mention it. Been with marijuana? Don't mention it. Got 5 kids by 5 different men? Do not mention it. Put a robe on them. Put a ring on their finger. Receive them. The good news about this story is that Jesus is immune to the smell of pig. Hey! He's immune to it. Doesn't bother him, does not affect him, does not dwindle his love, does not dilute his mercy, does not remove his figure. He will take you pig smell and all. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The smell of pig has 2 parts. One, it's how I really am. And 2, he's not affected by it. So I offer you today the love and mercy and forgiveness of God. I offer you today the patience of Jesus. I want you to see him, Melanie, embracing you with his robe. Rod, I want us to see him today. Putting a ring on my finger. I want you to hear him, church, saying, rejoice with me. The pig dweller is back. My son was dead, he's alive. My son was lost, he's found. Now, don't miss this one, Bullard. Don't miss this one. The boy comes back and says, make me a servant. The father says, you're my son. Y'all didn't get that. Let me try it again. The boy is willing to be a servant. The father says, I'm going to receive you as a son. See, the father didn't have to make him a servant. He's already become one. He's now a son servant. Nobody had to make him. Nobody had to force him. Pigpen took care of that. All right, Anwar, let me hear you.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home.
It's one of the old songs.
Coming home.
Yes, sir. Open wide.
Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
Hold off, Anwar. Three appeals today. Number one, will you just see yourself as you are? Seeing yourself as you are is the first step. It's the first step. It's not a bad thing at all. Calling sin by its right name in your life is not a bad idea at all. It's just acknowledging the smell of pig. So will you do that? Second appeal. Will you trade self-sufficiency for servanthood? Don't forget him now. He leaves. He got his stuff. Anwar, he's got his bank account. He's got his credit cards. He's ready. He's going to the far country. He's going to have a ball. He comes back home. All he's got is stink. All he's got is stink. And the Father covers that. So the second appeal, will you trade your self-sufficiency for servanthood? Two Sabbaths from now, we're going to have a Sabbath of serving. Are we going to have to beg you to step up and go out? Are we going to have to talk you into it? Are we going to have to massage you and make you feel good? Or will you come on that Sabbath morning ready, ready to be a servant? Last appeal after he sings the next verse. Go ahead. Please bow your head. I need you to pray.
I've wasted many precious years. Lord, I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home.
Sing the chorus with him, church. Many of you know it.
Coming home, coming home, never, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home.
Just the piano. Third appeal. On the 21st of March, we're going to have a baptism. Already three people from the baptismal class have said they'll be in the next baptism. Do you want to make your decision? If not for the 21st, for the baptism to come thereafter. You need to come down here. You need to present yourself as you are. Yeah, this last appeal is an appeal to join the church. To commit yourself to Bible study, to prepare to be a servant. But you've never taken your stand. That's the old phrase. Never taken your stand. Never come forward. Never committed yourself. I want you to do that now. If we got another verse, Anwar, sing it. If not, sing another verse. Sing one of the other verses you've already sung. And of course, you're praying, church. Maybe somebody will come.
I need his cleansing blood.
Just pray, church. And look around. I need you to pray.
Now I'm coming home.
It's prayer that brings people to Christ.
Oh, wash me white.
Not preaching, prayer.
And the snow. Lord, I'm coming.
Somebody today to make the ultimate decision. You're singing, church. Coming.
Coming
Everybody singing, coming. Never
more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home.
Just pray now, piano, softly. Let's just see if somebody's going to come. If they don't, it's all right. We gave the opportunity. Oh, I wish I knew where you were sitting. I'd come right by your aisle stand. Play the chorus again, pianist, just the chorus. Come on, friend. Man, woman, boy, girl, come. Lord, I know that you're very, very disappointed. But we've done your work today. First, we gave them an opportunity to look at themselves as they are. Second, we gave them opportunity, Lord, to move their attitude from self-sufficiency to that of servant. And third, Lord, we gave them a chance to walk down the aisle and give themselves fully to you, those who can. Don't be hurt, Lord. Don't be too hurt. We'll do it again next Sabbath. Thank you for speaking to our hearts today. In Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Wonderful word from God.
Amen. Our song of response is